Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Well, when they hit their quarterback 12 times, I don't like that. I don't like that stat at all. It's not a healthy way to play or a healthy way to keep our quarterback healthy through the remainder of the season.
Back to pass. Allen has time, now steps up in the pocket. Pressure coming, and he's sacked from behind. Absolutely drilled. And he is in pain, rolling left, looking for somebody downfield, doubles back to his right, still on his feet, in the clutches, and he's dropped for a major loss on the sack.
Yeah, it's not fun. I ran into a couple myself. I got to be better throwing the ball away and living to see another down, and too many times I was going backwards.
Back to pass, pocket collapsing, Allen in trouble, and he's tripped up and dropped for another sack. This one by Daniil Hunter. Steps up in the pocket, pocket collapsing, and he's wrapped up, and he's going down for another sack. Way back at his 35-yard line.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
One word for this game. It's not a word I've ever played in Scrabble. It might not even technically be a word, but I think these days everything is. Woof. W-O-O-F.
Woof.
What do you think? You got a better one?
You can put three or four more O's in there.
Not in Scrabble.
I guess that's
you
right.
You need two, exactly. Not yeah, one, not right. Yeah. Three.
You can't, you're not going for
not six.
Effect.
This isn't Twitter, Bulldog.
In Scrabble, right. Yeah.
Woof. Whoa. Eight sacks. Not only eight sacks, which is nuts, 70 yards. These are not plays where Allen gets sort of gently nudged out of bounds because the guy doesn't want to hit him because he knows it's 15.
Or tries to run and the guy clips his ankle and he's tackled a yard behind the line of scrimmage, right. And so that counts as a sack.
Sacks can be for zero.
Yeah.
As long as you're not getting a yard on the ground, that's a rush. But a scramble for zero is a sack. 70 yards in losses on eight sacks.
It's eight this sacks, is a new, and it's 12 hits, and it's 28 pressures.
Wow.
28 pressures. How many times? 34? I don't even know what the number of attempts was, but 28 pressures is insanity.
Well, I mean, sparks are flying today. Is this maybe a Houston thing? More than it is a Bills thing.
Well,
they ended Spencer Brown there for the night. Like, that guy tried.
Yeah.
He hung around, but you knew he was down bad well before he left the game and was all wrapped up. That was the part of the analysis of this matchup was that Houston was capable of that.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Pittsburgh is too. That's for next week.
They've got an elite guy, and the other guy's not bad. I don't think it's this level.
This is the first year of this particular issue since at least when Allen was a rookie. Like, there were turnovers when he was younger, but there weren't sacks. There wasn't constant pressure.
I don't remember being more disappointed with how, I mean, I'm the idiot that all week was saying I like our guys on the edge. Like, I think I have an antidote to what they do best. And
that wasn't wrong.
It was evident right away that they weren't going to be able to handle it. I think you know, there's so many different things you can attack here. You know, and I'm sure, I don't know, it's Friday and we got a short week next week and then another game on Sunday. So we'll see how it all plays out, whether we'll get into everything that is like on my mental checklist. Right, like single plays, like why this choice, why that choice? What are you doing here? What are you doing there? The overall to me is like, yeah, I mean, thank you to all the people that are dunking on me on social media for saying I trust Dawkins and Brown. The bigger issue, I mean, again, you know, yeah, I blew it, right? I was wrong. The bigger issue to me is once you knew that that was not going to happen, that you were in tough, they did not really do anything to help them. And I don't understand that. That is my, I for the first time have the sort of a lot of people's default setting after any game that doesn't go right, especially on offense, is the coordinator, right? It's just, and it's not saying it's always wrong, but it's just, it's always there. Bang on a, should have done this, should have done that. So predictable, right? We had a guy yesterday call us say, I wish they'd stop running such predictable plays. And they're like, what do you really mean? You asked him. I think he means he wants them to not run the plays that don't work. And the guy goes, yeah. I'm like, yeah, okay. That's why I don't usually like to just start off with the coordinator. But I don't understand how you don't have a pivot ready for that scenario where they're just beating your doors in on the edges. Your quarterback is getting hit and hurried and sacked, you know, the majority of the time he's dropping back, and you just kept I watched every sack over again today.
Wow, why?
Because I wanted to see how often they kept someone in to help.
Your job. That's good.
And
thanks.
There's one of the eight plays that I saw, like maybe a tight end chip someone. And furthermore, there's only one play where there's a blitzing, a blitzer gets him. Otherwise, it's rushing four. Those guys just winning quickly on the edges. And I don't know. I mean, it's possible that they would have thought, well, we can't get open when we send four guys out in a pattern. So what happens if we keep a tight end in or a tight end and a running back and whatever, and we only send two or three guys out? Are we going to get open? That's a valid question. But at least I think you got to try it. I think you got to pivot to something because it just was not working to have him drop back time and again. It just was not working. And I don't understand how an NFL offensive coordinator going into that environment, you shouldn't be. I'm fine if Joe Brady and Sean McDermott and everybody thought, I trust my guys. I said it, right? They're closer to it. They believe in them. But as soon as you don't see it going well, you should have been prepared. You should always be prepared. What if Deion Dawkins at special round get hurt? And Alec Anderson is your left tackle or something in a game. You should be prepared to give them help if you need to, and they just did not ever give them any help. I don't understand that. It's just so repetitively dumb to just keep trying the same thing. I'm really, it's the first time I've ever felt like I have a crisis with the play caller because I just don't understand schematically what they were doing.
Well, I'll just play along with you here. I think maybe the answer to that question, like if you, not in a press conference, but if you ask that question to Sean McDermott or Joe Brady, I mean, Brady would be defending himself if you asked it of him. It would be, I just don't have the players. Like you, sure, if you want to devote Jackson Hawes to one of those two guys, but you can't devote him to both.
Right.
I mean, you just want to go two tight ends, Reggie Gilliam all night, do the opposite of last week, sort of revert from the thing that everybody kind of thought was the elixir last week. I mean, they wouldn't want to do that. They were also never out of this game. There's so many different parts to this. Allen, just in that one McDermott soundbite, we've been talking about how you sort of, you're the one who says it. You detect these kind of like hidden messages, if you will, from McDermott, like we just don't want to get our quarterback hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And what an awful game, even in a win, it would have been last week wasn't that much. They did win. I mean, it wasn't that much different. Like he's just taking tons of hits, and he's coming up on 30. Like, there is a long view here that I think is probably relevant to them and should be. I don't know. You want to take Brady on, you can. You want to take McDermott on or Allen on, you can. You can take on anybody you want after a game like that. You want to take on the defense, you can. They just don't have enough talent. And I think, not that I know anything like Brady would or could do that job or anything like that, but he does not have a player, including James Cook, by the way. He does not have a player he can go to in moments of stress. He does not have a get-out-of-jail-free card on that roster. And that, I know, is what we've been harping on constantly here, but is it wrong yet? Like, so Terrell Shavers goes 4-for-90 against Tampa Bay. What's his over-under for yards on FanDuel yesterday? 22. Guess what? Zero targets. Who is Tyrell Shavers? Great story. We love a story. Who is he? Shakir had a night. 8-for-110. Like, that guy had a night. What's the ceiling? You can't. There's nobody who can save you. The guy who it could be is Coleman, but, you know, he missed a meeting. So, and then they scored 40. They had the nerve to go and score 44 points.
And he's not he wasn't helping them when he was on the field anyway.
No, okay. But there's somebody where, like, game on the line, if anybody on this team can bail me out on a passing play, I don't know who it is. Maybe,
yeah.
It's him more than anybody else, I think, but I know. I know. Yeah. I'm not here to defend Coleman exactly. I just don't think they have the talent. And if they can't block for Allen on a team without somebody who can just, without Amon-Ra St. Brown or somebody who can just, like, save you. That's not even the best example. Somebody great who can bail you out. Then they're in real trouble. Now it's Pittsburgh, and not that anybody needs to hear this, but I spent, let's say, less than 4 hours this morning.
Okay.
On the play, because it was less than 4 hours on the playoff machine.
But it may have been 3.5.
You better win next week. Like, this weekend, Sunday is suddenly pretty big. New England-Cincinnati is big, because if New England wins there, I mean, maybe just sort of write the check.
I already feel like that sitting here right now.
Lines moved to 6. Like, it's Burrow now.
Yeah, all right.
They're not that good, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to give up on that, but we can argue about that.
I'm going to pick the Bengals.
Me too. I am too. Give me the 6. I am too.
Right.
And then Pittsburgh-Chicago, because if Pittsburgh wins, then, like, they're in the wild card conversation. Everybody's kind of waiting for them to just lay down for the Ravens. At the Bears, is it 2.5 they're getting at Chicago? Anyway.
No, you're in the mire now. You're tied with the Chargers. You have one more win than Pittsburgh. Hence the point about their game with Chicago on Sunday. Jacksonville is nipping at your heels. This team you just played last night is one game behind you.
Watch out.
With a tiebreaker. Head to head on you.
Watch out.
So,
don't you think?
Yeah, if that team can figure out how to play offense at all, I mean, that feels to me, like, not to overstate things, like, you know, recency bias and whatever, since the Bills got this good, right, look, 5 years running into season 6 or whatever we are here of this, I feel like that's the best defense I've seen in the league in a single game. I don't know if, like, I was listening to Brownie and Steve, I usually do on my way in, and Chris said, like, home versus road, they're different. They're still good, but they're just a different beast.
Houston?
In their building, yeah. I have not seen a defensive performance that was, the secondary, I mean, the picks causing fumbles, the pressure, the interior, everything about it. They looked like the best defense I've seen in 5 years.
Well, there's two sides to that.
Who are they playing?
Right.
Right now.
I think the Bills, I think it's been true on defense, and last night it looked like it might have been true on offense, where, like, this is a team you want to play, the Bills. Because they don't get open, there's nothing scary about it, and if they can't just blow you off the ball, which they could not do at all, anything close to that last night, you get the one great Cook run.
Right.
Which isn't even really there. Like, he sort of makes that.
Yeah, just like it just broke open. Yeah.
Just what are they – the thing about the Bills, if not Cook, he's a running back, you know, whatever. There's like 20 of them. The thing about the Bills that scares you as an opponent is Allen. And when you get that kind of performance up front, okay. Like,
you're cooked.
It's not that hard.
And on the other side of the ball, there was absolutely zero pass rush. I mean, the defense did stabilize. They gave up a field goal in the second half. I mean, they kept the team in the game in the second half. But they had their warts, too. I mean, that drive after the Davis kick return was just a killer with a minute 40 or whatever they had to work with. And they just right down the field with Davis Mills, right? But part of that is there was nothing. It was like polar opposites as far as pressure on the quarterback. Davis Mills and his giant neck all day back there. Like, he just did not really feel any heat at all.
That drive. Like, how did you feel watching it? Houston is up 10-9. Mills is terrible. Like, there's every pass, even the completions were off. He's 4-for-13, maybe at the time. He finds Kirk. Okay, well, he's open. Wide open, would you not agree? Mm-hmm. For 10-9. And then you get the Allen pick on the tip. After that, Houston doesn't want to try. They just want they want to hold on. Like, they've got their blanket and they're holding on to their blanket. And okay, so 13-9, and I'm sort of like, if I smoked, I'd have a cigar because, like, the Bills are just fine here. 13-9. I actually wrote out a tweet. It's halftime here in Houston with the Bills up 16-13. Because to me, like, they were just going to drive for a touchdown and lead at halftime.
And then get the ball coming out in the third quarter.
You know, maybe I'll be right. People are like, oh, are you a time traveler? Are you actually there? Like, okay, well, I didn't tweet it. So then Davis goes all the way, and it's already 16-13. Like, I'm laughing. Like, this is classic Bills.
Yep.
They've got, just like last week, Allen's missing all the time. Turnovers after turnover after turnover. And, oh, they won by 12. Like, that's been how many games in the last 5 years of Bills football have been like, well, do we want to talk about their problems? Maybe. What kind of mood are we in? Because they're going to win anyway, and it's hilarious. So the Davis kickoff return, and now I think, like, Houston is probably cooked because Mills is so bad. Like, even the completions were bad. Just off, the timing's bad, the placement's bad. Come on with this guy. What happens? Finds Collins for 19, timeout. Eventually finds that big one to Kirk, if you remember, to get them to the 8-yard line with 12 seconds to go in the half. They throw incomplete, and they call a timeout with the clock stopped. This is amateur hour. Like, Houston just does not know. This guy does not know how this is supposed to work. And nevertheless, he has that slant to Higgins. Cam Lewis falls down.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's just there. You've got Taron Johnson adventures, and you've got that play, and somehow they are ahead again at halftime. And that's when I went, like, what am I looking at? Are the days of you can get away with all your flaws over? At halftime of this game, that's where my mind was. And still, I mean, I don't know if that had to be right, but right down to the last couple of minutes, somehow,
they had
fourth and 27,
right.
Fourth and one, red zone, they're still like, what would have been their chances to win before the Dawkins false start? It's 24 seconds down four at the fourth and one at the 17. Allen's going to run for the first down, automatic. Right. They have a timeout left. Like, who would you bet on?
They're in, I don't want to say great shape.
Who would you bet on?
But
they can go the whole night. Everybody gets hurt. Allen cannot be saved in the pocket. Guys are out. Houston's defense. I'm at the 17, fourth and one with a timeout. I'm going to win.
Yeah.
My wife was up. She got home from that Goo Goo Dolls. The whole time, like, fourth and 27, like, you watch, they'll get it. Easy game. Fourth and one. You watch, they'll get it.
Well, you get a play like that.
How do you lose?
Right. You should. I was texting with Sam. Will be with us in a couple hours. I was texting with Sam last time. Like, you yank that play out of your you know what. You win. You win the game. It's just, you know, and instead it's just like a footnote. It's not going to exist in our, you know, orbit ever again. Houston, maybe they'll laugh about it because they got away with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just so. It's disheartening, and I don't get usually disheartened. I'm stunned that they had such a tough time handling them and didn't do anything about it. Like that's two different things. Because okay, you got they're elite. Your one guy was compromised. Okay, what am I going to do about it? The same thing I'm doing all night. What? That just blows my mind. Maybe you're right. They just don't have. Like I did say when you know laying that out initially. Like if I'm Joe Brady, maybe I think if I take guys out of the pass pattern, I'm digging a grave for myself because I can't win when I have five guys out there running around. Let alone you know like two. So what am I? But. At inception, you're doomed. You're getting beat like a drum every play.
That's just new.
That is new. That I did not. I mean, there's a reason why I felt like as confident as I did about those guys.
That's not going to happen all the time.
No, you're not playing those dudes. So, and you know, if Allen finds Dawson Knox on fourth and six, or Dawkins doesn't fall start on fourth and one to begin with. And they get a first down, and they find their way into the end zone, and they escape. There's a lot of, well, let's just hope you don't have to see that team again, right? Because it a little like maybe like Baltimore was last year. Like, this is a bad matchup, and okay, I trust my guys, but at that team, holy kryptonite, Batman. Sorry, mixing up superheroes. But they didn't get it, obviously, and so you're left with, holy cow. And again, to me, yeah, I'm not worried. I don't know. We'll see what they can handle against Pittsburgh. See how healthy Spencer Brown is in 10 days. But I don't expect the Bills to have a crisis every week at offensive line. But if the people in charge of running the whole thing, running the offense, aren't prepared for a calamity when it comes, I mean, I know it's a short week, but come on. Like I already said, any week you'll go into a game, one of those guys could leave in the first series, or both of them. And you might have to do something different that allows you to protect your quarterback a little bit more. I do feel like, maybe I'm just in the mood, I don't know, but you mentioned McDermott and sort of comments he's made that feel like he maybe is pushing back against certain narratives that have been out there about him and his style, and just messages to the people around him. How he talked about getting the quarterback hit last night to me sounded like an email he could be sending to Joe Brady. Like, what you're going to get us killed because it's us at this point. Like, without him, we're all cooked. When he's lying there in the first quarter, it's like, okay, this is all over.
Kicking his legs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, Football Friday on WGR. It's tight today. Eric Wood will join us at 4, moved from Monday, day after the game. No Sal. We thought it was too tight.
It's not that tight. We got some time.
Sam Panayotovich, 5:30. We'll squeeze in picks. We got a hockey game. Pre-game at 6. That tightens it.
That does, yes.
Let's stop talking now. 803-0550, back in a snap. Brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
It's a game of inches. The end of the game, Gabe caught a beautiful pass. If his feet were just a couple more inches the other way, the energy like would be a little bit different, right? Even though that those guys got to our quarterback, but the energy would just be a little bit different. So it's a game of inches. Like you would think that it was a full game, you know, like butt whooping, but it's just football, man. Thursday night ball.
I'm guessing Dawkins here.
Yes, sirree.
Okay. Football Friday on WGR. Brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. Call the Yates. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, Crosby's Hometown Fuel. Game day ready since 1922. 803-0550. Try to keep it tight. Here's Tom with us. Hi, Tom. Not tight. Alex is next. Hi, Alex.
Hi, good afternoon, gentlemen. So that comment, what are we doing here, by Josh Allen, kind of tipped the boat for me. I think now we're an official, you know, reevaluating everything. And if I'm trying to be empathetic and put myself in Josh Allen's shoes, I know he's talking to Trubisky, but he's thinking about the coaching plays and the strategy. I have to question everything that's going on with this organization right now, because our offense has been the issue the last – all of our elimination games in the playoffs, the offense has had the ball at the end of the game. The defense has been doing what they need to do to give the ball to the offense, and then the offense doesn't come through. And there's a conflict between – there's Brandon Bean, highly recorded audio of him on WGR saying that the offense isn't the problem. Well, Brandon Bean, I'm talking to you right now. The offense is the problem, okay? Joe Brady. The scouting report that you're coming up with pregame is not working. It's pretty obvious that where their strengths are for Houston. Their weakness was up the middle, and we did it one time, and it worked really well with Cook. We should have kept trying to attack that middle. So Joe Brady has to adjust his pregame and his in-game. And then, of course, Sean McDermott's decisions. This was a field goal game. This was a field position game. And time and time again, even the head coach is putting stress on our Superman. But Superman does have kryptonite.
How?
And yesterday.
Are you reading? How? What's McDermott culpable for in this game?
The play calls, not punting when we should have, because this game was
when
about
should they
field
have punted?
Position. I can't remember off the top of my head, but there was a couple of plays early in the game where I'm like, you got to punt the ball, put him back, because their offense, I don't respect Houston's offense.
Okay.
We only respect their defense.
Bulldog, you know when that was? When should they have punted that they didn't punt?
I don't know. They went for a deep in their own territory and got a first down early in the game. And then the only other time I think they passed up a field goal, I don't know about punting, was they went for it on fourth and one, turned into fourth and six because of the false start. But the series before that, they were further out. I don't know, 32-yard line maybe. They could have kicked a field goal, I suppose. But they went for it on fourth and one and lost yardage and turned the ball over. That play to me is right. And that sequence was all Cook. Like he had a long run. And I think people are rightly pointing out, I think he wanted to get out of there. He like tapped out, and then they called him back in, and they kept giving it to him. If you watch that play closely from there's a end zone view like behind the Bills. What I don't understand about that play, and it is the sequence that Allen goes to the sideline and is seen saying, you know, what are we doing? He probably is frustrated about the play calls, but it's also possible what are we doing is why did my right guard just completely miss the guy? So there's a lot of things he could have been thinking there, but it's probably frustration with the overall, right? There is nobody in front of McGovern on that play. And Allen is under center. And how he doesn't just take the ball without even telling anyone. Like, I don't think you don't have to change the play call. You don't have to change anything. Take the snap and just follow the center. He would add the yard easy.
Well, okay.
And that is very confusing to me. From Allen's standpoint,
I don't know when they were supposed to punt that they didn't punt. That's early fourth quarter, and they're at the Houston 23.
Yeah.
So that couldn't have been it. Here's Shane next. Hi, Shane.
Hey, guys. Next time I call, kind of surprised I got on so quick. But, you know, honestly, Bulldog, kind of similar to you. Like, I mean, nothing against you guys. I haven't been listening to, you know, a lot of Bill stuff today because I just can't stomach it. And I was with the Bills, you know, honestly, probably till that fourth down at the end of the game when the ball hit the ground. I thought they were going to do it. And since that moment, my perspective on the season has just completely changed. They just seemed like a different team. They showed up. They didn't show up yesterday. You know, McDermott doesn't even seem like he wants to be there. He's just got this 1,000-yard stare. Josh feels like a different person. And maybe just deep down, they just know they don't have it this year.
Those are different things. If they know that and there are about 100 people – this would be a blanket statement about. I'm sure there's a wide range of opinions about what they think they're in for. I mean, I'm not listening to McDermott doesn't want to be there. Why? Because he's not more demonstrative. I like his demeanor on the sideline. I don't think it's bad. I think it's good. I think these are times when you want your leadership to be under control and not a lunatic, you know? So it doesn't have to be at one end of the, you know, either extreme. But are you really saying that? You don't think Sean McDermott wants to be around? Can we just kind of see how the season plays out first?
Yeah, I will on the overall. Well, I don't know if this is the overall really, but on Allen and like the headspace he may or may not be in. This is the second. I mean, they've lost two of these three, and is it what like 4 out of 7 or whatever? Are they 3-4 since they started 4-0? I think
yes.
That's right. But 2 out of 3, right? And look, this is, you hear this more in hockey locker rooms, I think, but occasionally, well, it happens. You know, the Bills are losing a little more than we're used to, I guess. So we're hearing more losing commentary. Guys are being asked about losses, but it's the second time in 3 weeks Allen has said they wanted it more. And I don't know if that's something that he is sensing or if it's just a thing out of the cliche book to get through the news conference. But that stood out to me last night, that he said that again, because he said it after Miami and a few other guys said it after Miami. I don't know if anybody else said it last night, but Allen, sitting there with the media last night, did use that phrasing. I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but it was the same sentiment. And that can be a we don't have it type of thing to me. Like that is something you could get to if you think everybody, we're not good enough. And it wouldn't surprise me if they're shook. Like however McDermott looks or sounds and how Allen looks and sounds after these games, they might be shook in a way that they haven't been in 6 years.
Maybe. Well, it's meaningless, I think. Because the one thing players never say is we're not good enough. No, nobody ever says that. And I think they would think it. Lots of teams would think it. But nobody ever says that. What you get is more, not even really that adjacent to that, but just like maybe it's effort. Because you'll get away with that. If you're a star, what did Thompson say on Wednesday night? Maybe we have passengers.
Yeah.
Huh. What, a name names? No.
Well, that's what I mean. That's why I'm pointing out that Allen has used that phrasing twice in a row. It could be a cover for he doesn't think they have it.
I think he probably does think that they don't have it when it comes to talent. I think that, and a lot of these forced plays and turnovers and, you know, these kind of jailbreak kind of plays are probably some function of that sometimes where I don't know what to do here. I don't have a guy that I know can do this with me. And that includes Cook. Like, he's just a running back. I mean, I guess he could be Rico Dowdle or somebody. Just like, it's running back. It's almost irrelevant. You don't have a player on the team Allen doesn't have a partner. And so this is what they wanted. I mean, this is 2 years. They won all the time, 30 points a game, da-da-da-da-da. I mean, this is what they built, and now it seems like they are paying for it. And that is not a surprise to many of us that they would be. Was it a surprise last night or not necessarily? Like, I don't know. Every week is different. But you found a team here that can wreck your offense, and they did. And the Bills still were probably minus money to win with a minute left, which is sick. Like, that's the Bills. That's been the whole 5 years, is almost always, whenever they lose, they're still, like, right there. And maybe that'll just be, again, how the playoffs happen, you know? Maybe we've been there, too, and maybe that's just what the destiny is here. But as many things as there were last night that seemed problematic, all the injuries, all the sacks, turnovers again, you're right there.
Yep.
And I don't want to come off of that this season, if you make the playoffs, well, really, this game will also just be completely forgotten if you get it right then. And they have time to do that. They just have to make it. And that's what's different today, is whether they make it. Look at the standings and imagine, if you will, what it looks like if they lose to Pittsburgh. Because then it gets very dicey. Now, you've lost to Houston, and who knows what can't. You've beaten Kansas City, at least. Maybe the seven seed will come down to a Bills-Chiefs head-to-head tiebreaker.
Right.
I don't know. But there's a lot that can still happen
right,
here.
There's a lot of traffic right around where the Bills are, and right behind them, Kansas City and Baltimore are lurking at 5-5. Like, if they...
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Go in the right direction from here. I mean, the Chiefs just lost last week, so we'll see if they, you know, rebound at home against Indianapolis this week. But the teams chasing you are not Jacksonville and Miami right now. You know, it's Baltimore and Kansas City are the teams in the rearview mirror right now, and that can be a certain kind of alarming.
Houston's defense is really good. Jacksonville's defense is also really good. Maybe we just have to sort of look south here this year, which I've not been willing to do. I think Indianapolis could be in trouble. I guess now I'm making the mistake of buying high on the Texans after last night, but Indianapolis has a brutal schedule, and that starts Sunday in Kansas City. We'll see what happens. Let's go to Randy. Hi, Randy.
Hey, guys. You know, it was late in the fourth quarter, 6 minutes, 44 seconds left, and they were 4th-and-1, and I did believe you make that field goal, because they were in field goal range. It's a one-point game. Even if they miss it, it's still a one-score game. But I think that was a situation. I think the coach made a bad call. They should have taken the field goals right there.
They did kick a field goal right there. 5:48 left to cut it to 4.
No, the play the series before that.
Okay, when Cook had stopped.
When it would have been 20. Would have been, what, 22-21?
It would have been 23-19. if your kicker makes the field goal after having missed an extra point already. That's right. It's not a given.
That left. All right. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Thank you. Mike is next. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good.
So I've been watching football for a long time.
Same.
I don't think I've seen an offensive line get beat up that bad, and I can't remember when. Like, I saw offensive linemen getting hit and just giving up. Like, they were just getting their butts handed to them, and that's not good. I mean, Spencer Brown's the biggest guy on our team, and he was getting blown up.
But, well, that's very rare.
And he was playing with one arm a lot of the game. I don't know when he got hurt, but, I mean, he was in the tent, came back out, and tried to keep playing, and he was it's another thing that maybe they should have acted on sooner that they didn't. Get him out of there.
Yep.
He just could not. He's playing one of the best edge rushers in the game, and he couldn't really do anything with his right arm.
He battled. Scott's next. Hi, Scott.
Hey, Scott. Hey.
We're off to a great start. Scott, are you there?
Yeah, sorry about that. Hey, guys, how's it going? I just had a quick thought. You know what I mean? Like, the actual, like, Bills were going down there.
Okay, we got to go. Sorry. It's not one of those days. We'll have Eric Wood at 4, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, Football Friday on WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.